Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. I have such a juicy treat for you all today, especially for those of you that are women and are identified as the female origin in the entrepreneurial space. And who you're going to get to connect with today is actually somebody who I consider one of my close soul sisters, who I've had the pleasure of just seeing her completely transform and just evolve so much into her next level embodiment more and more. And so welcome, 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 Miss Maya.
Thank you, Sophie. Yeah. So happy to be here.
It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
So before we drop in, let's give anyone listening just a little bit of a preface about like whom you are, how you show up in the world, and really your core messages.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like I am that person, and I witness this in all of my clients. I am that person who is constantly doing something new. I'm constantly transforming on the edge of my next evolution. And so feels like my message is constantly evolving. And I think that's one of the things that I bring to the entrepreneurial space is that we get to be all of who we are. We get to shift our message as much as we want. We get to be the most embodied version of ourselves. And for those of us who do deep work, it's constantly changing. So the key pieces for me are honesty, truth, transparency, authenticity, and allowing ourselves to be on the next edge of our evolution, which is what I've seen to be in my own life and in the work of my clients, the biggest potential for growth, for abundance, for our total expansion in business. I think that encompasses it.
Yeah, it's bad. So many layers to this, and we'll dive into quite a few on here. But I know some of the big ones that have really stood out, especially in the last year or so, has been a lot of unveiling around some of these darker layers that oftentimes a lot of people have a lot of shame around when it comes to their sexual experiences, to being seen, to actually showing up in their wholeness, to feeling safe to actually show up that way. And so I'd love to just kind of drop it in that space. And also, because I know one of the big pieces that you really speak into is knowing that you can be somebody who's vulnerable, somebody who's in your wholeness, and also be a leader and an entrepreneur and somebody who's really a teacher in the space.
Yeah. Wow. There's so many layers to this story, especially for people that are in leadership. And I don't even know where to begin truly, but what feels most present is this story that to be a leader, to be an entrepreneur, to be a coach, you have to show up like so powerful, so clear, and so on it all the time. And how I experience that often as the viewer is really a hyper-focus on the masculine, a hyper-focus on even potentially the shadow side of the masculine. And so we'll probably within this conversation be diving into the shadow and the light body. But yeah, my story is one of feeling just a lot of shame in my life and thinking because the darkness and because of the shadow is so present for me, I can't lead, I can't teach, I can't share. And I grew up in a space where there was a lot of shame. There was a lot of, you can't do this. You can't reveal all of the skeletons in your closet and be successful or have money or have people follow you. And it's just a societal story that, quite frankly, wrong. All of my favorite teachers, all of my favorite leaders have this element. And so it is for some people, and it's not for others, I guess. But I think it really is the space. We'll experience a lot of growth societally and internally is when we bring these two elements together, when we get to say, I get to cry on the internet. I get to show people what it looks like to experience deep darkness and depression. And I also get to say, I am so full of light. I am so full of teachings. I know who I am. I'm clear about this. And I'm willing to take the risk of holding all of it in, because that's consciousness, that's unity, that's divinity. And that's the space that I like to play in, wholeness, as you said, through really embracing the shadow.
Yeah, I love this. What comes to mind, especially in the entrepreneurial space, because we're working with a few different paradigms here.
Yeah, we are.
And it's interesting to see how embodiment is starting to become very much of like this buzz word in the industry, where it's almost become strategized to become embodied, and how you show up in your embodiment. And I think this is just something to lean into and speak into, and really discerning the difference of where is this me showing up in my rawness and in my wholeness versus me showing up in the need to try to meet some sort of result.
Right. It's kind of like, are you just trying on these things? And I think of archetypal work, it's like, are you just trying on one side of it, the light body part of it, and saying, okay, this is me, this is who I am now, this is just a projection. And so when we talk about light work and shadow work, if we only focus on the light work, we're constantly projecting out into the future who we are, who we want to be, this next iteration. And I don't want to say that that's wrong or that it's unhelpful, because it's beautiful, but it's just one part of the process. And so if we're constantly working, it's essentially the future vibration. If we're constantly working in the future, we forget where we came from, we forget our shadow, and then it emerges in these really terrifying ways. And we see this all the time in people that do a lot of light work. They have big, serious, like life-shattering revelations when the darkness emerges, and they think things like, oh my God, I haven't reached this next version. I'm not who I thought I was. I'm a complete fraud. Especially the fraud complex. That comes up a lot when we're doing projection work, light work, whatever, archetypal embodiment even. But when we pull the shadow from the past and we lean on, almost as a support, all of our history, who we've been, the richness and the depth of the story, then it feels like a complete narrative instead of just one fractured piece, which can be really beautiful and inspiring, but often feels a little bit shallow. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we see this a lot when there's a lot of, I'll speak to the entrepreneurial industry because that's a lot of where this audience is at. You guys will see a lot of people oftentimes sharing story of overcoming and stepping into being a hero and all of these pieces. Yet we're oftentimes not acknowledging the journey that we're currently in. It's oftentimes always reflecting on what we've moved through versus the reality of where we are. And I think that in my experience, this work is so much more about embracing the current reality and the depth of the darkness that you're always in duality with the lightness that you're constantly embracing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that sensation, that feeling of embracing everything, to me and in my experience, is so much more beautiful than focusing on the light pieces. And it's alluring. As I said, it's beautiful, the lightness, but it's just 50% of our human experience. And as entrepreneurs, I think we can do a lot when we bring together both of these elements and hold them in our being as beautiful expressions, both in the darkness and in the light. But when they come together and merge, for me, that's the juiciest part. That's the masculine, the feminine. That is that tantric sexuality piece that feels sensual. And it's not having to do, I'm sure we'll talk about sex and sexuality because it's a huge passion of mine, but it doesn't have to do with the other. It has to do with this merging that's constantly happening in our form. And it can be, of course, played with in another human being as well.
Yeah, let's just go there.
Okay, let's go there. I can talk about philosophy all day, but I can't really
Let's give it into, like, actually going into some concrete examples to just really paint the picture for those listening of like what these experiences are like, and moving through this process of actually merging into integrating both that masculine and feminine, and especially in more tantric settings, and how that's then carried over into the work that we do. but really the experiences that like lead into that.
Well, there's a few places that we can go. I think I'd love to start with how this all merges, and then we can break down some of the pieces. Because for me, the way we do anything is the way we do everything. And so the way that we relate to other people is the way we relate to our clients and our business. The way we show up in our artistry in our life is the way that we can bring artistry to business. But for some reason, these two worlds, especially with business, we just fracture that a little bit. We're like, okay, I understand that these pieces are connecting my relationship with my partner, my friends, my family, my relationship with myself, my pleasure practices. For some reason, business doesn't get integrated. And so that is a big piece of it for me. But how do these things get integrated? Can you give a little bit more guidance on where you want to go with this?
Yeah, let's play with it. Let's speak into the piece, because I think where a lot of people kind of fragment is, okay, I understand this world of embodiment and me being able to step into my power and step into my essence and step into my energy, but not necessarily seeing the connection or the correlation with how that has to do with them in business.
Yeah, so our desires are the undercurrent of everything we do, and especially these deep subversive desires. I'd like to actually talk probably about BDSM in business and also polyamory. I think those two topics would be really well served here. And those are the topics that I've mostly explored online, because these are really big societal undercurrents that there's so much shame around. And what I have done is, in my work, and especially as I've shared online, is saying, look, these are just examples of how we shame ourselves in business. So that's probably the undercurrent of all of this, is if we believe that what we want is too much in our personal life, we're always going to believe that what we want is too much in business. So I'm just going to talk about a personal example. When I was growing up, I grew up in this really conservative culture. I was always the slutty girl. I mean, I was the girl that wanted to make out with all of the guys. And I remember one time I thought to myself, how many guys can I make out with in one day? And so I'm getting out with this one in the morning, like, ooh, this is so fun. And then I remember telling some girlfriends about this after school. And I was like, hey, I made out with 3 guys during school today. And they were like, you slut. And what was coming up for them there, and also what emerges, I think, too, in the female world of entrepreneurship specifically, is jealousy. But they were just projecting their shame story and actually their own subvertive desires onto me and saying, that's not okay. I don't feel okay with this. And simply by bringing this to light, and at that point in time, I was not in my power. I was not in a space where I had the language that I have now to come back and to share. This is just your shame story projected onto me. I actually really like the things that I'm playing with in my body. And you don't have to like them, but do your work on the side. And so does that kind of bridge the gap here between tantric sexuality and business and how this all plays together?
Yeah, I think what I'll share to just deepen it for anyone that's kind of starting to lean into it a little bit more is when we start to recognize the shame that we're carrying in our personal lives, which is a lot of women, especially around their sensuality and their sexuality, because it's something that it's not promoted, right? We're deemed to be women that are conservative, women that are proper, women that are showing up in the way that they're supposed to. And it's become more of a thing in today's world. And we can use common examples like the whole J-Lo and Shakira piece that was coming up this weekend over the Super Bowl, where there's so many people who become triggered when women are showing up in a way that they themselves have been taught isn't okay. And so we carry this shame, this guilt, this frustration in our bodies. And so what ends up happening is then we're now carrying that and projecting that into every other aspect of our life. So whenever we're met with something that's showing possibility to what we could step into, we reject it because we have this immense amount of shame and guilt that's holding us down.
Yeah. And there's such a difference between projecting connecting these strong feminine archetypes and actually feeling them and embodying them. So the difference is, to use this J.Lo Shakira example, the difference would be coming out and just simply saying, I want attention. Like, I'm going to take my clothes off. I'm going to show you all of me. And I am using this for validation. It's feeding me, feeding me, feeding me. Like, my sense of self is coming from what's happening here. And what we witness, I think, in J.Lo and Shakira is two women who are well into their later phases of life that are so embodied, who are so powerful and clear. They don't need that attention. These are moms. They're wives. They are full women. And they're not doing this for attention. They are doing this because this is their embodied truth. And so I want to stress that there's a difference. And when we were, just to allude back to some earlier pieces of our conversation, when it comes from projection, when it comes from I'm creating something that's not 100% authentic, it does leave a kind of distrust in our system. I don't want to harp on this too much because there are so many people that talk about the patriarchy, and this is a topic that sort of bores me at this point. However, what happens when women are so fully embodied, who have control of their pleasure, have control of their bank accounts, have control of how they work in the world, is that we don't really need other people. And so I don't want to say we don't need men. We have less of a neediness around other human beings. And that starts to get scary for everyone in our fields. Like, we're breaking ourselves truly out of these paradigms of deep neediness and people-pleasing behaviors and saying, hey, I still love you. I still appreciate my audience. I still appreciate my friends, but I don't really need you anymore to fulfill my sense of self. And when we start to break away and function in these ways, it is a little scary for people. I think that's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, friends fall away, like, things happen. I don't want to discount that.
Yeah. I think the piece that you're alluding to is this concept of non-attachment, where we're no longer attached to the people, the places, the culture, any aspect of anything outside of us to validate or affirm who we actually are. And when a lot of people hold attachment to us, it's scary because it's no longer being reciprocated. And so yeah, we're in this process of massive shifting and evolving and transmuting and transforming. The people around us that have attachment to themselves and who they are now start to question a lot of their own beliefs, a lot of whom they believe they are, because you're no longer validating those circumstances. Yeah, it's a really, really beautiful piece. And it's something that we get to lean into, and just having awareness around, as you start to step more into wholeness, where it's less about let me do so I can be, and more about let me cut the cords and let me really step into whatever my full integration is, however that looks for me, knowing that there are going to be people who are triggered, that there is going to be a lot of projections most likely, and also that you don't have to take on anyone else's stories.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And just recognizing when people start to give feedback, like people are giving around J.Lo and Shakira, like people did to me personally when I put out a blog post that you have read, Sophie, called BDSM and Enlightenment. I received so much shit around that, to be honest. And I had to really sit back and look at, is this 100% my embodied truth? Where am I projecting and trying to get attention and seek validation from other people? And then figuring out what the integration of those two pieces is, and really sitting with that and being able to have both of my feet on the ground when people come at me with their fears and projections, and still say, this isn't my embodied truth. If you cannot accept this, I'm sure there is some other place for you to hang out online, for you to share your comments in a forum where people will, you know, come along with you. I received that text message from my grandmother and my mom on Super Bowl night. What do we think about this pole dancing? And my, thank God my grandmother doesn't listen to podcasts. One word, disgraceful. That's what she sent back. And I was like, I like pole dancing, Nana. I think it's pretty cool. And she was like, well, I'm just too old to understand anyways some of these things. And it's like, we don't have to fracture. We don't have to completely disintegrate and make the other party wrong. Like, at the end of the day, all of this work for me, especially when I get feedback online or from clients, especially with clients, where there's all sorts of triggering coming up, it's just saying, at the end of the day, we all want the same things. At the end of the day, we all want to feel love and connection and support. And that's how I respond with these days to the shameful comments of other people. But it wasn't always this way. It was really, really hard for a long time for me and very dark. So that's why I bring this, because we don't have to do it alone.
What's coming through here is just this piece of, it feels like the words are groundedness and just wholeness again. And I feel like it's just like really stepping into our power when we're able to receive others' hurt and others' shame, recognize it as not our own, and then meet them with like love and grace.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole process over and over and over again. And at the heart of tantric sexuality is the teachings of tantra, which is very different than the practice of kundalini, which is all about ascension and all about rising energy. Tantra really teaches us that energy ascends and energy descends, and where we transmute all of this is through our heart center. So the teaching that I have absorbed over and over again, and the mantra that's most helpful for me when I encounter all of the old paradigms, when I encounter people who are in resistance to something that I'm sharing, is simply to open my heart over and over and over again. And that's not something that happens in the mind. That's something that really happens in the body. And in this moment, I'm doing it right now. I'm just like, how can I open my heart in this moment? Over and over and over again. And that's the best practice there is, because we can work it over in the mind, all this stuff, but it really has to come into the body. And that's why the sexuality piece is so important. It allows us to access pleasure and to tune into what is our truest desire in these bodies, which can then manifest in every area of life, including our business, not from a projection, not from, look at me, like, I'm so sexy, I'm so cool, I'm so in my archetype, but really from a grounded, as you said, a grounded, clear, present delivery of who we are right now, acknowledging that it will change in the next moment.
The piece that's coming through that I know we kind of want to get into a little bit is around sister wounds. And so we touched on this briefly, and just a lot of the ways that we're received when we step into a place of rawness and is put in a place of really honoring the shadow, into a place of really stepping into the darkness and being seen in that, and how oftentimes we can be met with a lot of sister wounds, especially from clients or friends or other people in the industry. Let's drop into this one a little bit.
Yeah. So how I experience these days as I continue to up-level the type of woman that I'm serving is I meet my own edge with this. And I think about my dream clients. Of course, you know, I do the dream client work with my clients, but I also have dream clients. So I'm working on that edge. And the woman that I'm moving into serving right now, I still think, oh, fuck, if she sees me like this on the internet, she'll never want to work with me. She'll never think I'm credible. But I know, based on what I've experienced in the past, and how magnetizing this energy is for all of the women who've worked with me up till this point, well, that this pattern will remain true. But I still feel it as terrifyingly in my body, to be honest. And I just trust the learnings of the past and that the things I know to be true will continue to be true. And that's how I view expansion and transformation in general, but it doesn't make it any less scary. I don't know if you experience that, Soph, but yeah, it is kind of a scary process.
Sister wounds are fun.
Oh, really? They're fun when you have like when you have the tools and you have the women to play in it with, but before that point, they're like really hard. Yeah. And they're really fun once you get a handle on it. You're like, oh, I'm doing the same thing that I talk about everyone else doing, just at a different level or in a different way.
I feel like there's a lot of resonance and parallel in our stories, and just a lot of the slut shaming and just sexual shaming and just a lot of the isolation is just younger women in the world, especially starting to explore sexuality and sensuality. And so you learn from an early age, a certain point, to not play into the woundings that other women have around you. Though it's painful and in the process of experiencing this sense of exclusion and judgment and retaliation and all of these other elements that come into play, it creates, when we can soften into it, this sense of just, how would I describe it? It's almost like this sense of unshakability of like, instead of meeting people with frustration or tension, it's like, like, thank you. I receive that. And like, I'm loving you through that. And I remember so clearly one of my girlfriends, really good friends, she read one of your posts that you wrote about sister wounds and jealousy. And she sends me a message.
Oh my gosh. I said at the end of that, like, talk to your sister about her wounds. Oh my God. It's totally happening. I love that.
So she sends me a message. It was the sweetest thing ever. I'm not going to say names just because I don't have her permission. But she sends me a message and she's just like, you know, I read this post and I just had to tell you, like, I'm feeling so triggered by you. And I'm feeling like this massive sense of jealousy and like all of these things and just speaking into all of it. And I was just like, oh man, like, I love you so much right now. Like, I love you so much more. And I also just like want to honor the fact that there's definitely moments where I recognize those pieces coming up for me, and also recognizing like, you're just holding this beautiful mirror of possibility for me. And that's that piece of like me being challenged to step more into that. Right. And so for me, sister wounds is this beautiful process of really just having every other woman hold up a beautiful reflection of possibility, and us being willing to say, okay, I can step into that too if I choose to, and I can choose to love that and hold that and recognize that there's wholeness in me as well.
Yeah, I'm going to use these words, and I think everyone who's listening will understand what I mean by this. I don't mean sexually when I say these words, but I just mean in full body activation. For me, the hottest, sexiest, most sensual emotion is jealousy. Because I've done so much work with jealousy, being polyamorous, and that in romantic and intimate relationships, it just taps on our lowest chakras. It really works the lowest energy centers, which are in association with simply existence and how we create on this plane. So I do think that intimate relationships are this fertile ground for playing with all of this stuff, because it feels the deepest, like it lands in our body in the deepest place. But when we start to explore jealousy in all of our relationships, it's so activating, as you said. Like, when someone comes to us, especially dear close friends, so I'm really jealous about this and I just want you to know, all of a sudden, especially if that person has some really good communication skills and doesn't make it about us and makes it all about what's going on inside of them. Like, I'm jealous because I feel like I'm never going to measure up and I'm never going to reach this level of success in my life. That takes me out of my mind, out of defense mode, into, wow, I know what that feels like, because we all have fear. Fear is not going anywhere. I don't believe in the empowered woman is not fearless. The empowered woman is, or the empowered feminine, even I could say, is honest about what she's scared of. And when she comes into that honesty, lovers, friends, clients, everyone, it just magnetizes, because that's the heart energy just pulsing all day long. The heart is where we house fear and love, right? Side by side, shadow and light, and they all come together in the heart. So I find that jealousy emotion is just sexy to me. And I'm sure that your relationship was so much deeper after that point. And I'm sure that there were little things in your relationship where you were like, huh, why is she responding like this? And now there's so much more understanding and connection and intimacy because of this simple sharing around jealousy. And it happens all the time and for us. And I wish we gave more attention and awareness to when jealousy is emerging. And not to be ashamed of it, just to call it out. Yeah. Because it can be, especially in romantic relationships with partners, it can be so hot to witness your partner be jealous of you or to be jealous of your partner. It's like a full body sensation of, oh, just want that person so much. You know?
Get in me now.
Exactly. Exactly. And then on the other side of that, it's like, what can we do to fall into depth together instead of moving away? Because those are the options. Either we polarize and disconnect when jealousy emerges, or we come up and we connect. And people that can meet you in the connection space will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love this. I want to be conscious of time because I know that we're on a little bit of a schedule here and there's so much juiciness we want to get into.
Oh my God, now I just want to keep going and going and going. Why didn't we start out with this topic?
Lightly love them into it.
Love them into it, yes. I completely agree.
I love this. I feel like a great way to just encapsulate everything that we're really speaking into and everything that we're sharing on it. We might even have to do a whole nother episode to follow up on this, just to drop in deeper. But it's really about this piece of recognizing that you are so allowed to experience and feel everything that you're experiencing, and to really dismantle this paradigm of shame and of guilt, especially around your sensuality, your embodiment, your sexuality, your jealousy, any of these emotional states that we've been taught are less desirable and are less powerful. Because when we learn to really step into and embrace and meet these parts of ourselves with wholeness, that's where we step into this place of full integration.
Yeah, 100%. And one of the things that has helped me as I've started to do this work, and I think the jumping off for me, was this poem by one of my teachers, Margaret Wheatley. And she said something along the lines of, we move between great extremes, feeling happy, then sad, blissful, then remorseful, joyful, then despairing. And when we can cultivate this perspective of, oh, I'm just swinging back and forth, and this is how life goes, and there is really no exalted emotion or low level emotions. They are all welcome visitors in my human experience. That's actually when we ascend. That's actually high level consciousness, because we're not slaves to our 3D physical experience anymore. We're actually able to see what's going on and wrap everything in love, wrap everything in the heart vibration, and say, it's all welcome here. And as you said, that's wholeness. But when we polarize emotions as exalted emotions or low-level emotions, there are a variety of different ways that people call different emotional states. And certainly, I have my ones still and will the rest of my life. I have my emotions that I like to play in the most. That doesn't mean they're the best ones. And that might seem a little bit pessimistic, the idea that the wheel does in some ways keep just spinning on and that the pendulum just continues to swing. But when we can enjoy the ride and when we can embrace it, it's like watching the tide go out. Who cries when the tide goes out? And who cries when the tide comes back in? When we're watching it from the outside, we simply acknowledge it's going, coming back, going, and it, this is this whole dance of watching life unfold and being in awe of it all.
We can watch the beach and think of you later.
Oh my God, please do.
I'll send you a picture.
It's quite gray and rainy. Yeah.
I love it. So as for anyone listening and tuning in, obviously if you go to iTunes, you guys will be able to see all the juicy deets on Maya. But any final notes that you want to share, any heartfelt messages that are really wanting to come out, and any way that you want to really just allow people to connect with you if they want to drop in deeper with you and just play in your energy.
I think the one thing that I want to share, which feels really important to me, especially for entrepreneurs, especially for the women that I serve, is that when we embrace what you and I just shared, which is this experience of wholeness, it allows us to move in a really embodied way into our artistry, such that our social media pages and our emails and the retreats that we hold and the workshops that we teach, the coaching programs that we fall into, start to feel like art. Everything in our life becomes an artistic expression. And for me, that is the most beautiful thing in the world, because it feels honest and true. And I know that so many women out there are just trying to make it work in business, or just trying to find the next best thing or the next offering or program or whatever it is. My encouragement to all of us is to just be with the now. Let whatever you're working with in this present moment, which is the only truth there is, become the artistry that you blast out into the cosmos, and that you, the picture that you paint for everyone in your life, not just your clients and your audience, but also your friends and your partners, to really step into that artistry and use the material of now. So the invitation would be, of course, to just follow me on Instagram. That's where I share my artistry and my musings. And I have a lot of things that are changing and evolving in my business. There are so many different ways to integrate on many levels, at a lower investment and, of course, very high investments and in-person retreats. And that's where I have to say my highest joy is in this moment, is taking women on really juicy, deep, soul-enriching immersions. And of course, we talk about business, but it's so much more a soul quest and a journey than it is a strategic VIP experience. It's all about embodiment and just being together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maya Knight on the socials, and soul.work is my website.
Love it. Yep. And we'll have those links posted for you guys too. So if you pop on iTunes, you scroll it down, you should be able to access all of it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, love, thank you so much for just making space to pop on, just sharing your heart, your soul so profoundly like you always do. Sending you the biggest hugs and just so much love. And I can't wait to squeeze you in real life sometime soon.
Yeah, I can't wait for that either. Thank you for all you are and all that you embody. Such a beautiful space to have these conversations. Thank you.
Love it. Awesome. Until next time, guys, we will see you soon.